Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Watching Stuff. And is this our most hyped
This is the one I've been somehow
for various
dreading and looking
reasons?
forward to the most, yeah.
So yes, the week is finally here. I am one of your hosts, Monty Moore, and I am joined as always by both Aaron and Dusty. Guys, how excited are you to
I'm so
discuss this
excited.
movie?
I'm so
I am
excited.
actually kind of excited because I think we're gonna have some differing opinions today. So I think it'll be
We
fun.
didn't think we
We're gonna
were.
end up. We're gonna end this episode with us banning this each
The
other from the
show
show. Like we're just gonna
is
end
being
everything.
suspended.
Yeah, we're just gonna disband the whole thing.
Yeah, so we are covering the Eternals this week. This was a huge budget movie. 236 million was this movie's budget. That is
Damn.
easily one of the highest in the MCU so far. It made a lot of money. It ended up making opening weekend, it made 71 million.
Because wasn't this the one that came out in theaters? Like it was the first one back in theaters?
I saw
Yeah.
that. Yeah, I saw this in IMAX, like I do most of them. It was a
Sorry.
great movie for It was a great IMAX movie just because of the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made 400 million. So like didn't I like th I think that's just US, but worldwide it made over 700, which is, I mean, it was really hyped and it's certainly very different. Like we'll start there. It's
Yeah, I mean, I like going into this movie, like I didn't know what to expect because I had heard some differing opinions. I think for certain things, I feel like this would have benefited from being a show. I think that would have solved a lot of my issues with this movie. I don't like the pace. I don't connect with the characters. I think there's a lot happening and there's so many people that you're trying to keep on top of. There's so many storylines you're going to the past or jumping up to the front. I'm like, I
Icarus
just
is
feel
trying
like,
to only keep on top of one person, but yeah,
well,
continue. I'm sorry, continue.
it's pretty easy because a rock is not going to slide around. It's just some traction there. But I just think that I would have liked to have seen things broken down a little bit more. I would like more look at their past because I feel like their family vibe I don't buy into because we barely see them like in their past unless they're fighting.
I
So
do like
I
the
just,
idea of that because the whole thing is they're all in these. What I liked about it this time around, because I did end up enjoying this movie, which I hated this the first time I watched it. This is awful. The fact that they are in, like, I love the concept of through all these historical times, these major historical times, and how you see their influence on it. If it was, you spend an episode or a couple episodes with them in Babylon or Mesopotamia or all of these, and you see a little bit more of like how they're forming this, how they're like basically pushing society forward to evolve while still being in the background somewhat, but not too much. That would be really cool to be
Yeah,
able
I
to
think it
see
would be
more of
so
that and like the
awesome.
flashes. Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
in on that.
Yeah, that would have been awesome because I loved looking at like the history because it's just like, oh my God, these are events that we know or we learned about or we heard about. Like it would be really cool to see that like played out into a more in-depth level, I think, for me. That would have completely changed my opinion on this movie.
I agree with you that it would have been better off being a show just because, yeah, there's so many main characters. And, you know, if you're not familiar with any of these from the comics, and I was only loosely familiar because I didn't read many Eternals comics, like admittedly. But I knew like the basic.
Not enough rock sex in the
Yeah.
comics.
Like I knew the basics, but like if you had never seen these characters, like That's something else.
Yeah,
going through the movie, like you'll forget, like you could forget their names because there are so many.
I
There's
still
legitimately an hour stretch where you don't see Druig or Makari, and
or
they have
Fastus, is that his name? I don't even.
Fastos. Fastos you legitimately don't see for an hour and a half at a certain point. I forgot he was in. Like when they get back to they find the ship, right? I'm blanking on what the name of the ship is right now. They get back in the ship The
and there's
Doma.
yeah, and I was like, there's the Doma, that's right. And there's junk all over the place. I'm like, well, who could be in here? And then I was like, oh, the fast girl. Oh, okay, Makari is here. That's right. Yeah.
Like
it there's and I really liked Makari and Fastus, and I hate that we didn't get much time with them. And I would have loved having some more time with them. And I like the relationship between Druig and Makari a little bit more than the weird ass one from Cersei and Icarus. So I would have rather have seen that develop.
I thoroughly enjoyed when they get back together and they're on the Domo. Mm-hmm. And it was a King goes like, what is this? Because I hate this.
Yeah.
It's killed me.
Right. And I do not care for Cersei's character, which also makes it tough because I just think like, I don't like the way she's written. I don't know. There's just like, I'm not bought into like, I feel like she's always like depressed and concerned all the time. And I'm like, all right, I don't know this woman's personality anymore.
It's also me. I don't want to watch this on the screen.
But like, I want more character development other than like, I'm the concerned one that wants to do the right thing. It's like, okay, well, we get a little bit here in the beginning where we learn like she's like a history teacher, a lecturer at a private school, but I guess they have lectures where she just shows up to lecture.
Guest speaker. Classes.
Yeah. I don't understand what that is, but like, I wish that there was just more in like, that's why I just wish we had more time with these characters.
I think it's cool that they do the, you know, they show her changing the dagger and giving it to the person. And then through the time jump, you see it like advertised as a museum exhibit. Like that's a really cool way to show how, like, to deal with probably the biggest time jump in the entire MCU up to this point, right? Thousands of years. Right. So like, it kind of just instantly like ties that together, which I thought was cool. And then, yeah, kind of like you said, her character is kind of like one note. Like there's the, does she still have feelings like for her ex? And like one thing that I kind of thought was cheesy is like at some point, this movie just ended up being a romantic mm-hmm. comedy because they all end up falling in love with each other.
Right. Like, it's Friends.
There's a plot right where she's like, I can't have that because I'm 12. Like, right. Yeah, because everyone else is hooked up at a certain point.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so I get it. They're together for thousands of years, but like, do they all have to date each other? Like, I kind of feel like
they got nobody else, I guess.
I was going to say, who else? Like, at some point, you're locked in with these people, right? There's
you can't date your coworkers, though.
Right. It's messy. Look at Icarus. It's fucking messy.
They have now been together on this earth. We know their memories wiped until they've been around for forever, but they've been on this earth in one form or another, whether they've been in contact with each other or not, for like at least 7,000 years from what we see.
Well, they were just 7,000 years on Earth.
Right, on Earth. Yeah. And that's what they remember because their memories were right before that. So they've
been on other planets. They were like different, like were they attracted to different people?
Well, I kind of wonder about that too. If like how long they're on those planets and how that shapes like the relationship right. with people around.
That's something I wish they would have shown.
With each other, they're all just like a little group of swingers.
Like Aaron was saying, that's something I wish they would have showed, like mm-hmm. like pieces of like their previous missions that they've been on.
Right, like what Thena is like thinking of, like have her like show us dreams that she's having instead of just her acting them out or whatever, like yelling them, like, but you can't do that. I understand there's just like not enough time, and I just think this is one of the few instances where I feel like this should have been a show over.
Now, I will say in their defense, we're sitting here saying it would have been better off as a show. The Disney Plus shows are normally 6 episodes.
It
would have probably had to be more.
That also feels like they would have been shoehorning in a lot mm-hmm. by the time you get to episode 5, right? Because that's right. A lot of times the second to last episode of the season is always the best one, mm-hmm. right?
So like, also need to see like how does Cersei get a mortgage, stuff like that. Right. That's an episode by itself, you know.
Yeah, so she doesn't have a social security card. What is
it? One of the obvious like biggest pluses of this movie, it is like a gorgeous movie.
The entire thing looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the first, I think, like visually stunning part is like when they're in the Hanging Gardens, like in the Babylon scene. Mm-hmm. Oh. Like that's a gorgeous movie mm-hmm. scene. And then, yeah, so it's cool that we jump around to so many not only time periods but places, mm-hmm. and I think one of the reasons when we get to the ratings, I'll rank it higher than I actually really liked the movie is just because of how good it looks. Like they do such a good job of, you know, showing you scale or like giving you like perspective to like make things look way bigger or smaller than they are. Like the CGI budget. This was still the peak of like MCU CGI where it hadn't started to get terrible yet.
We've joked about the like why hasn't anyone mentioned like the big old machine right. popping out of the sea. That whole scene and the imagery of that, it mm-hmm. looks amazing. It looks so cool.
And the fight scenes going on at the same time are beautiful because there's so much gold, which I like love. Mm-hmm. It looks very like where they talk about Olympia. There's obviously like Greek gods, like Athena, which is like, you know, the goddess of war. Like it feels very Greek mythology. And I think of gold, I think of temples, like their ship being like marble and gold is like very much like they really capture the imagery very well. Like it feels very fitting. Their outfits, like it's very, I don't know how to even describe it. It's just very ethereal. Ethereal maybe is the best way to say that.
You brought up the outfits. I will just say when they're in Babylon, why aren't they trying to blend in a little more? They're wearing their little space suits down like, hey, little girl, do this little thing. And they're like, she's got a little golden blue suit on. Like, wouldn't you wear a robe or something? Like that seemed odd. Because I know they worship multiple gods. So they did worship multiple gods, but like not gods in spacesuits necessarily. You would still figure so they like, would dress somewhat like of the time, I would
imagine. Instead of making them question, like, oh, wait, what are you guys doing here? If you're gods, what the hell are we worshiping? What are we doing? I think I have, like, I'm confused on that too, because they keep saying they can't interfere. And I know a big part of that is that's their excuse for not interfering with Thanos because obviously they were not, the story didn't happen until after Endgame. Like that's simply the point of that. But then like you see things where like it was the last battle that they were at where they all broke up or whatever.
Yeah.
They, I can't remember where that was, but
that was, they, was that Mesopotamia? No, Mesopotamia is at the beginning.
Wasn't no,
that,
it was like, oh God, I can't remember where it was, but like at one point, like obviously it's like a genocide that's happening and they can't interfere, except they are like interfering during parts. Like there's a little girl that's about to be crushed by like a stone beam and then they save her from that. And I'm like, is that not interfering? Like partially you should probably just let that girl die because she's gonna like get tortured and like killed anyways. That would probably be less horrific. But, you know, but like, and that's where I think I have issues. I'm like, they're constantly interfering. Like when like the deviants come out, it's like, that's kind of interfering as well, where you're saving a kid from a deviant. And I think that is also part of my issue is like that plot point, like that, like is not satisfying. I feel like there could have been another way to handle it. I just don't buy into the, we can't interfere, but we kind of can, but we kind of can't.
It was like, more like, because it was more like wars, right? Because that was the whole thing is they wanted to, like, they didn't want to interfere in wars was kind of more what they were talking about. Because then wars then go with innovation. That's technology. What they need to do. You're trying to advance technology. So that was their whole thing. The whole, like, you mentioned the Thanos thing. That falls flat on its face for me. If it does, like, the rule itself follows because that is, like, a war. Mm-hmm. But it really screwed up the plan because they want more people on the snap was basically set them back like, oh, no, you can interfere now. Go ahead and do it now.
Right.
And maybe if Ajak hadn't turned at that point, you know, if she hadn't been questioning, because I guess you don't know when she starts questioning. You see a week before she start like, I think maybe that what's his face? Arishem was wrong or whatever. Maybe she thought that like 5 years ago and was like, I'm not passing this on. I have no idea. But it felt like that was one Arishem steps in and goes, all right, listen, you got to stop this guy.
You got to schedule.
We are 2 weeks from destroying this planet and birthing a celestial. Like, we cannot let him get away with this.
Right. And that's one of, like, there's just, like, weird things where I'm like, we understand why they're doing it. Like, not trying to be the, I hope someone got fired for that one. But, like, I feel like they could have built that a little bit better if you're trying to say, we're not interfering with that shit, but then interfering on little things. Because again, like how do you know what's good enough to interfere or whatnot? What if that little girl was like going to like save the world at some point? Like, how do they not know that? Like, you know, like, I don't know. It just is like, or if she was, maybe she was going to be the next Thanos and wipe out half the world. She was going to start a genocide. Like, it just is like, I just feel like
you. Yeah, I agree. They should have killed that little girl on screen. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie would have been so
much better. Oh, man. Like, I can't believe that the Eternals let baby Hitler get away.
I know I'm doing the annoying, like, they should have gotten fired for that one. But like, I think it pulls me out of it when like they literally saved that girl. And then it was 30 seconds later where they said, we can't interfere. And it's like, but you just did.
Yeah, that to me seemed like more like wide scale wars. They don't influence wars.
That's how I took it.
That's how, like, this little girl was about to die from.
Well, no, like, I took it as like they can't like make one side win.
Yeah, you're not picking a side in this. Oh, that has to play out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess I just struggle. I struggle with that.
Well, because then you also have the whole like, we can't advance it too quickly because they have the scene where Fastos like makes the steam engine and they're too early. And he's like, plow. Here's a plow. Take that. So it's like they have to advance it, but like
right.
Little bits at a time.
I did think it was funny that they couldn't handle the steam engine, but like they're not freaking out watching Sprite make like floating magic shows.
It was like the next scene. Like,
and I'd be freaking me out if I was in Mesopotamia back then. Like,
well, and I think the other kind of point that I was also trying to make is like, them not blending in is very fucking weird to me, or just trying to be like in the background. Like they saw, like an example, they saw like them save that little girl. And then they're all like being shot. And it's like, you're not going to do anything. You guys are just going to fucking stand there.
But I also think they did a good job of making it. Because like everything goes right, like history is told through mythology. So like back then, people did think there were gods like among them, right? And like when civilization was still pretty primitive, like that's how these stories got told. So that's why, you know, Athena is the basis for Athena, the Greek god. So it was probably more just you're accepting what you're seeing because you're still so close to like when the mythology started.
Right. But when then the war starts happening and you see them all standing behind you, like, why aren't you getting involved?
Yeah, they were in the shadows. They
couldn't right. See right. But that's more my issues. I'm like, I feel like it's not smart for them to be wandering about because I guess then you have your like, you know, your God is like God's will kind of a thing. So it's like, whatever will be, but I just still think it's not instill confidence in me. Like just watching them let this happen.
It is. I mean, it is a fine line to walk in, and then it is it's also if you look for a sports analogy, right? That's like the NFL. What is a catch, right? Where it's like it's been over legislated to the point where you now have subjective calls on the field. Right. That's like you're trying to interpret this in a way, but you're going through like five levels of rules to get to that point.
Right.
Could be like listen. You can help them. You can help them kind of go through and save like one person at a time. You can save someone's going to get hit by a bus or something. You can do that. You can go and you can meet with the people and you talk with them and you help move forward technology, but only so much. But you don't get involved in wars. It's almost like these hard and fast rules they had to put down for a lot of this, because once you introduce subjectivity, especially if you're on this planet, my assumption would be they're on Earth longer than they're on any other planet.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them they've got to be on, because if you're advancing technology to a level where a celestial can get through, you're there for at least 2,000 years with the rate they're doing that. Mm-hmm. If you're there for that long, at some point, like you start to feel something for these people, and then subjectivity has to enter into it. And they're trying to like make the rules as hard and fast as you can, would be my assumption. So it's like, we don't do wars. You can help an individual person. You can advance technology. And like, that's it. Make it as simple as humanly possible. That was my thought on kind of the way they probably.
Yeah. I guess it just goes back to that little girl that was about to be killed in the war. They saved her only like for this, like in the middle of this war.
You wanted this girl to die. I can't believe how bad you want this girl to die.
It's like, it was like, it's just like, I don't understand. Like
her blood.
I don't understand why I don't know. I just have a hard time with it because there are so many different events. I don't know. I need more of this, like, look at the history, because all of a sudden, like this war, which is not that long ago, they were like, oh, we can't help. Why can't we help? And it's like, haven't you been doing this for thousands of years at this point? Like, they're all surprised that they can't like get involved right now. So we can move on. Sorry. I just am not bought into it. I feel like it's
Well, and I don't think it was overly clear. They didn't define.
And that's where I'm. That's clearly. Why I'm struggling yeah. with it. We need more time, and that's what we don't have, sadly. Anyway, well, let's move on.
Well, for Eternals 2, maybe we'll get an Eternals 2.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they're going to have a second movie, which is one of the things I had written down, which is funny because, like, that Harry Styles cameo is not going anywhere. That's like, they're not going to do any. He's not going to be in another movie, right?
Can we get a Patton Oswalt Pip movie, though? Can we at least get that?
That I'll take. I'll take that.
Yeah. He's just this drunken, like, troll thing.
just teleporting like through history or something.
It's just on a bar crawl.
Let's go.
I want to go. It is.
This is definitely when the scale of everything went way up, though.
Oh yeah. Because
like we had already had the climax of the Infinity Saga with half the universe getting half of life in the universe getting destroyed and coming back, but now just a few movies later, we're jumping into. We're dealing with things that create universes on their own. It's like, oh, okay. Right. Well, things just got way bigger.
Right. Well, and they kind of make this double-edged sword for themselves because there's no way this would have worked before Endgame, like before you get that far, like, because this would have been too much, I think. But like at the same time, there's that big plot hole of where the fuck were they? So they're like, we've just like screwed ourselves with that plot point. But like, I don't think people would have bought into this, like, this much of a sci-fi vibe.
They also, I mean, thinking about it now, they could have potentially brought them together, but they also were not in contact with each other and seemed to actively, like, some of them actively right. checked out to the point where the only thing that brought all of them back together was the death of their leader, who they all loved. If they were like, Thanos is coming to kill, they'd be like, okay, well, we don't, like,
they're all
separate at that point. I don't know that brings them together. I mean, Fastos, they had to like work very hard to get him out, and that was with Ajax death as well. I don't think he comes out for Thanos.
Yeah, I think that what they should have just done is made them all get snapped. I think that would have I would have preferred that, I think, than the
every single one of us. What are the odds?
well remember, they're not alive.
That was going to be my question, was would any of my, I have that written down. Would any of them get snapped? Like, what are they made robots. Out of? Like they're not robots? Like, but are they made out of like human parts or something?
Like, I mean, we saw the factory, like they've robots. Yeah. Robots. It looks
that's
like.
True. That's true. Yeah. Like
they're not even like cyborgs. That they're just true. Like that straight androids.
Yeah.
With like a flesh cover. Like they just cover them in flesh, right?
Fleshy cover.
But then you can make them human. Cause Sprite got turned into a real boy at the end.
I had another question about that. How? She's just like, I think I can do this. Why do you think you can
I think
do
I that? Still got some power from that one mind that we had to be fully connected to in order for me to take advantage of it. But
so well, she did know she could do it on her own because she did it. Like she like got a power boost, right? When she turned the deviant into a tree. And
which, by the way, that deviant tree looked dope as hell.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
That whole scene, that you know, whole Amazon
you know, there's, awesome. You know, you can go. I'm sure you can go on Etsy and buy like a realistic deviant looking tree. Deviant tree.
Stick it in the backyard.
Probably like five.
Stick it in my front yard. Are you kidding?
But yeah. So I mean, remember, and they also said when they all connect to the Unimind that they also connected to Tiamat. So they probably got a power boost. Right?
I understand that. I just think it's funny that she's like, I think, you know, of all the things I could do, I think this is the weird thing that I could do right now.
I could replace your robot body with organs.
Right. Like, why would she think that she can do that? Like, it's just like, I laughed when she said that. I'm like, okay.
The joke is we come back 20 years later and Sprite's like, didn't work. Look at me. I'm still a robot. You didn't do anything. What's wrong with you? Why'd you say you fixed me? Nothing changed.
She's getting younger.
You Benjamin Button me.
I do feel bad for Sprite. Like that would fucking suck being like a child. I don't understand why he would have done that. What an asshole.
Connect with different people, like the ages depending on what planet you're on or something. I mean,
yeah, because like, why would he make Makari deaf? Right. Like, clearly there's a reason for that, right? I guess they want
to try to make them like normal people.
Yeah.
Why would he make Icarus be a total bore? Like, we don't know. We don't know.
Most one note character of all time.
Oh my gosh. Right. So you talk about Cersei being one note. That dude.
Yeah.
My goodness. And I had this written down. This was red flag from the jump. The first first time we meet them, they're looking out at Earth and Cersei's like, isn't it beautiful? And he's like, I'm Icarus. Buddy, have a little bit of game here. Like, try to have a conversation.
She threw you a life vest, and you like,
I'm Icarus.
Yeah,
that's the most he emoted the entire movie.
Well, and like, I mean, even just there were so many red flags. Like, he's inside of her and says, "I love you." Like, that's a red flag if I've ever fucking
heard one. Aaron, is your relationship okay?
My current one is wonderful, but can you tell I got some trauma from past ones? But seriously, that's the first time you say it. Red fucking flag. No way. She should have killed him right then.
Well, he only gets, I know they all kind of have different jobs. He only gets involved with the people of the Earth, you know, the Earth that they're supposed to be like protecting from what they know at that point anyway. Because he wants to, like, desperately wants to bang her. He's right. Like walking around. He's not helping the people. He's just
down bad.
He's oddly just like shadowing her and following her.
Yeah, what is for he been up to? What do we think he's been up to?
What is he? He just shoots lasers out of his eyes. What does he do? I'm unclear what his
role is. He can literally fly, has super strength, durability, and he can shoot lasers.
Because, I mean, Gilgamesh is like, his whole thing is like, he's somewhat of a protector, right? Like, he's the big burly guy. He's the warrior protector from the deviants. And I guess that's Icarus as well, but his role seems...
Well, isn't like...
Defined. He's Superman.
He just seems like a douche. Like,
Isn't Gilgamesh like one of the first, like, mythological heroes?
It's he's a Hercules, isn't he? Basically, Hercules or... What am I thinking of?
Isn't he like way before that? Like,
spin off of him. But yes, Gilgamesh is yeah.
He's like from forever back.
That dude is
Mesopotamian hero. Way back.
That dude is in Train to Busan. That actor,
yeah,
and he's the best part of Train to Busan. So I saw him in this. I was like, oh, all right, here we go.
You want to know when I saw this in the theater? Obviously it was packed theater, but there were like the people that were sitting like two chairs down. It was like a couple of like an older couple taking, looked like they were probably taking like their grandkids. And when they like Gilgamesh popped up, the old guy was like, isn't that Wong? I was oh no.
Oh no.
Wong got beefy, man.
I was like, oh, you're not gonna know what the hell's going on in this movie.
This dude is as wide as a refrigerator. Like, he is just like brick shithouse has never applied to someone more than Gilgamesh.
God, I had a question.
I've got a sprite question.
Yeah, you're distracted because the sex scene is on right now.
I'm trying not to look at the screen.
Super hot sex scene. Okay, so Sprite at the beginning, right? It's what's his name? Dane, Black Knight.
Dane Whitman.
Is it old Dane Whitman's there? And what does he think they don't say this in front of him. What does he think the relationship between Cersei and Sprite is? Because they're not sisters.
I couldn't.
Is she supposed to be like adopted daughter? Like,
it kind of seems like they're just like a big sister.
I was gonna say it has to be sisters. Like, oh, our parents like died, and she's just like way younger than me, and
yeah,
they don't look alike.
A different race.
No, they're not the same race.
Well, like adopted, right? Sprite's adopted or Cersei's adopted.
But then why doesn't she go to school? You know, like why
he's been going he should to school have those for questions. Thousands of years.
Yeah, no wonder she's pissed.
she's been in eighth grade for 12 years.
They're gonna actually in school.
Well, they've just put her in school when she becomes a human, and they're gonna be like the Mesopotamia area. I know all this.
I was there. This story is about me.
Yeah, I would like. That would be fucking miserable. I would have flown into the sun. I would have had Gilgamesh throw me into the sun if I had to be a child for 10,000 years. Absolutely the fuck not. No, thank you.
Yeah, she seems super miserable. She didn't seem happy about anything that was happening.
Yeah. When I was watching the I don't know, in multiple times they keep talking about how special the Earth is. And I'm like, there's no fucking way. Like, it pulls me back out of this movie again. I'm like, we have got to be probably like the trailer park white trash of the universe. There's no fucking way. Yeah.
No, they don't know
that's
that.
That's right. Their memory's been wiped. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
This is literally all they know.
Like, also, wow, I don't know.
So magical.
What the hell accent does Druig have?
I think he's Irish.
It's Scottish.
Sort of Irish. Oh, Scottish. Right.
It fluctuates. Like, it fluctuates.
Yes.
Now, it's like he's trying to. Oh, he's Irish.
Yeah, he kind of mumbles, and he's like, it does feel like he's trying to do something different than his regular accent, and it seems like it changes. It's very.
Like he's trying to hide it.
I was like, what the hell is he saying?
It's like he's trying to cover it up, but he's very bad at it.
Maybe he's. I also want to say the like. Again, I haven't read a ton of Eternals comics, so I don't know how many liberties they took. I do know one big change is that in the comics they're not like robots. They are they're a super advanced like race of humanoid beings that were created, but they're not robots like they are in this. But I think it's just like the design of what they make the deviants in the movie is cooler than what they look like in the comics. Like the deviants
look awesome.
Yeah. Except the main one
when he starts turning into like a man is very odd looking.
I feel like he skips a few
stages from before he absorbs Gilgamesh's powers and then after. Yeah. I was like you're just completely a human.
Right. I'm like guy. that was a huge jump.
Also, I forgot it's Bill Skarsgård.
Is that Bill Skarsgård?
Yeah, like that could have been anyone. He's in the movie for like 8 minutes.
I saw that he was in it. I didn't know who. I was like, well, who does he play? Because I didn't look up to see what the DVD.
Yeah, no, that's
a nepo hire if I've ever heard one in this.
That is Bill Skarsgård. I was like, he doesn't add anything to like at least like you know for in it like he looks like his face. Is on screen most of the time.
I like it better now that I know there's Bill Skarsgård, though. You know?
Oh, yeah. I have Googled what the deviants look like in the comics. What the hell?
This is like the moment when Aaron finally looked up what the Vulture looked like in the comics for the first time.
I told you,
like he's 90 years old.
One of them looks like a green Humpty Dumpty mated with the slime ghost from Ghostbusters.
Slimer.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, do you know why he's called Slimer?
How does Aramish wipe memories? I need to go back and figure that out. Take some fucking notes. Yeah, I'm really glad that they went that direction because they look awesome and the CGI looks fantastic on them. I just feel like some of the CGI on Thena was just like poorly done, oddly. Like I don't know why. Like it's like they didn't finish or something because her movements sometimes just look very unnatural. Well, maybe it's because
Icarus finished. Oh, you're the CGI. Oh, my bad. Yeah. Okay. All right. You're talking about something else. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. No, you're good.
No, but maybe it's because she's in a white outfit, so like the light colors like make it more obvious when something's happening. But I was like, yeah, this is very obvious that this is not her. But other than that, the CGI is like way better than I was expecting or than I remembered.
We didn't mention the actual best part of the movie.
Gilgamesh. No, I talked about Gilgamesh.
And Karun.
Yes. Yes.
Karun is obviously the best
our
character.
Eyes into the weirdness. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Great. The moment when you forget he's there and they're like, we're walking away, we're gonna let the earth be destroyed and the world else can deal with it. And he's like just standing in the background. He's like, it's been an honor. so just you guys told me I'm gonna die.
And he's like, I'm human, I'm biased.
Yeah.
I think we should kill the celestial.
I vote against what you guys are saying.
I was worried he was gonna die.
Yeah, so was I. I love the part.
Even the second time, because I didn't remember if he did in the first time I watched it.
I had my mind Druid died, and I was like, oh, that's a pleasant surprise that he survives to the end. All right.
I thought Thena died. I don't know why.
I remember when they get to that part where like he's eye blasts Druig into the rock. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sure he's just completely dead.
And we won't right. He said again. He's gone. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that that killed him.
He's literally an eternal. You got to try harder, man.
Got to cut the head off or something. I wish they did a, I do. I wish they gave us more Athena as a badass fighter. I don't like, I think her fighting is awesome. I love her power. I love the, like when it's not super CGI where she's like flying across the screen, when it's a little more natural, like an actual either stunt double or Angelina Jolie, like it's awesome. I love seeing her on screen and fighting. I love, like I said, her swords. They're awesome. I don't like that, like in the Amazon fight, she's just like sitting there. I wish that she got involved. I don't love the character arc for her where it's this, woe is me, I need protecting. And it's like, she's a badass fighter. Like, can we see more of that? So I'm happy that she didn't die because I had in my head that she was going to die. So hopefully if we do get another movie that we get to see her fight, like, because that was awesome.
Yeah, because we get at the end when she kind of like, either has, what's it called, Mad Weary. She actually has that in front of the thing and recovers, the deviant and recovers, or is faking it somehow and then recovers. Mm-hmm. But we do get like, we get those visions of her. You have her fighting against the Eternals now, and you have that fight against the Deviant. Like, that would be, and that was one of my issues the first time I watched it, was I love Angelina Jolie. Her in the action stuff, she's always so good in action stuff. And it just felt like she was written out somewhat of this movie. Is like, she has a glowing face disease.
she has PTSD. Like, yeah. Like, let her sit in the corner.
Like, yeah, but like, fancier. Right? It's like there's gold on her face when it happens, you know, which is nice.
It's elegant.
That was
a good indicator.
That was
an elegant mental health issue.
In the comic, that actually happens to Cersei and not. I thought it was interesting that they switched that.
Yeah.
The movie.
Okay. I liked Cersei, but I would have rather have been Cersei that happened.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen, Athena being more of the goddess of fucking war instead of, because
when Cersei loses her mind, what's she going to do? Give a lecture about another planet? Like, that's not going to hurt anybody. Just do that.
She's going to just sit in a pond.
This Iron and Wine album is so good.
That's the other thing about.
She's going to like turn it into a hot tub where she's just sitting there.
That's the other thing about wanting to see more from the other characters. Like, I want to know what the rest of these guys were doing. Mm-hmm. Like, Cersei was pretending to be a teacher, right? Like, I want to know what everybody else. Druig was controlling a colony.
A cult? I thought it was a cult.
But at least we got to see what he was doing. Like, we don't know what Athena was doing necessarily. We don't know what Icarus was doing. So that would have been cool to see.
I'm going to go on the record here. I don't care what Icarus was doing. The other people I'm down with, I don't want to see what he was
like,
doing.
Like, are we going to find out he was like Jack the Ripper or some shit? Like, he did something. Like, he is somebody. Because they never found out who Jack the Ripper was. So
laser beam eyes killer.
Yeah. the new stuff comes out and it's like, not only were all their guts ripped out, there's also, I don't know, somehow laser removed their head from their shoulders. It is. There's no way that exists now. That technology doesn't exist. That's why they couldn't find him.
I will say the one thing that felt way different, because this was only the second time I had seen this. I had only seen it opening weekend in IMAX, and the scene that made, I was like, I don't remember this scene feeling that way, was the where they're talking in exclusively MCU references.
Like when they were on the table and they're
Every line is a reference to a King previous. Goes
like, Thor used to follow me around.
Like, have they left this planet?
Yeah.
I wrote that down.
They would have
like,
to.
Right.
Because the first time I saw it, it was
why
like,
why would they be allowed to leave the fucking planet that they're like assigned to? Like, and we know Thor was not on Earth, or we don't. No. I assume he was not.
Because the first time this, like when this came out, it was really hyped, and like we were still, you know, hungry for all things Endgame references.
What's this made of, vibranium?
So like, yeah, it feels so much different now. I mean, like, oh man, they really shoehorned all those in there in one scene, essentially. Yeah,
all in a 5-minute shot. They're just like, we've got it. That's one of those. I almost kind of enjoy that, thinking about it now. Because what you heard at this level, so many of these things, this shot where he's walking down this, where Drew is walking down the steps when everything's on fire, is incredible, by the way. Mm-hmm. What you hear about the movies at this point is like, everything is like, we've basically have to, there's 15 minutes of footage we have to fit into the whatever story we've created in order to tie it into the other ones. I like the idea of them giving that to these writers, and they're like, we're blasting through this in a 5 minute dinner scene. We don't have to touch the rest of the movie. We're going to talk about Iron Man and Captain America, and we're doing all of this now. And then we don't have to talk about it ever again. Like, I love the idea of like, fine, here's your continuity. We're eating dinner. Now we don't have to do it anymore. If that was what they did to get around that restriction from MCU, from Feige, I absolutely love the thought behind that.
Yeah, they're like, we have nowhere else to logically put any of this without it being ridiculous. So here it is.
The yeah. Captain, also, what's this I stumbled on? Oh, Captain America, shield. Oh.
Like the one that made it what made it feel so forced is because like they're having a normal conversation and all of a sudden Sprite's like, now that Captain Rogers and Iron Man are dead.
It was like someone kicked her under the table.
Yeah,
to say it. Say it.
Where the hell did that come from?
Right.
Did anyone hear about the Incredible Hulk? Who is that guy? Where did he come from?
What's the deal with Professor Hulk?
How does he find glasses big enough to fit his face?
That is a good question, though. How does he?
He makes them. He's Professor Hulk.
Yeah, oh. I'm sure he can. He can make some. He can some do glasses. Anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time travel.
I had a question. Is there a difference between these Celestials and Ego? I feel like I've asked this before, and I don't remember the answer. Because Ego is not like is the planet, not being born from the planet. Kind of a vibe.
Yeah, but
they're all like variants of the same, aren't they? Like Celestials are Celestials, but they present differently, I believe is kind of what it is. Is that
okay?
The Celestial stuff is all Monty. It sounds like you're probably the same boat I am. Anytime I get to the Celestial stuff, they put that in, you know, like the Infinity War stuff, in the comic run, some of the Civil War stuff even. I breeze through those issues. Like the all like you get in the cosmos, like this is too boring for me. I simply cannot handle this.
It's too grand and epic for me to like be it. Like, this is really cool. Like I'm going to dig in further. But this they feels do big. I mean, they do that is one of the best things they do in this movie though is like Airstrom is awesome in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like and those like that part what carries this whole movie is that nearly like 8 minute scene of all exposition where he's telling Cersei like everything.
Why would he tell her all of that?
That's a lot of exposition, which is normally very boring. And you'd be like, get to the point, but all the visuals during that. And like they do a great job with his voice. Like that's how something that big would sound.
Yeah. Like,
that's exactly
and
what
to
it
talk
was.
About the scale of it too, when she flies up there and you see it's just his face and she's a speck, like you get such a great idea of like, oh, okay, this is what we're dealing with here.
It took three of like wide shots for me to realize like that little thing was her. It's I was her. Like, holy Jesus, like because you just don't think of because it's hard to process when you're thinking about a celestial being. Like even when you're thinking about the concept of like a god, even as a kid, like I would not have expected like that kind of scale of like a literal being kind of being on. You just can't imagine it. So it's just too big for our feeble little tiny brain.
I think of this, and granted, the CGI in this was way, way more. But I think of how they showed Erishan here, and how you can see the scale of it. Versus how Galactus was presented in the Rise of Silver Surfer,
a fart cloud.
He's just a cloud because they can't show like how big he is. And like Galactus would have been look awesome if it was like this look and presentation, like walking up the Earth. That would have been cool. And that's like, oh, they really fumbled that, didn't they? But CGI budget was not nearly what it was here. So I get it, but it does. I would like to see Galactus kind of like this as well.
I think what they did though is they were selective. Like they knew you couldn't have the Celestials be in the movie a lot because like it has to feel epic every time it comes up. I mean, you see them a total of what, 4 times, I think.
Yeah.
And they have to play it like he is gigantic. Cause even when even when Ajax is talking to him, all you see is his like face, like his eyes.
Yeah.
Like whenever she's talking to him in the beginning. So like they like never at any point make it like every angle that they use, like it makes you feel small watching it. Like they don't ever make him look like normal sized on screen.
That's why, I mean, I see all these in the IMAX, but like this movie was great in that for that reason. Mm-hmm. Cause like that's the most Arisham you can fit on a screen.
Right.
Possibly.
Right.
You wanted just like the full frontal Arisham is what you wanted. That's why you go to IMAX. That's what you're there to see. Give me
if anyone's pants are coming off.
Monty's in the theater going lower.
Lower. Show us his penis.
How's the cinematography?
I want to see the scale. Give me his feet. Show me how big his feet are at the very least. And I can figure it out from there.
We got an idea of how big.
Nothing from his face, from his eye holes. That gives me nothing.
Right. I like that they kind of spoof on the Bollywood tradition of like all the actors are always like handed down from each, or not handed down, but like related to each other. So that's like a real thing.
I do love how hand wavy that is. You're like, no, I was my great grandfather.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think where I'm like the problem, like, and this is again where it pulls me out of it, is like, well, that's not fucking logical. Like, none of that is. And because there's no way that they're only just now in 2025 forming relationships with people. How have they handled this without telling anybody?
I don't have time to tell you. It's like, that's the problem.
And I think because they're also very open in their past of like, we're clearly like gods. It's like, why aren't they like that now? I don't understand why they decided to fade into the background.
Right? Because they like the band disbanded. They're waiting for their instructions. Like they don't have any instruction. They don't know what to do. So they're left to find their own way. And when they find their own way, they're not part of their team and they're not trying to. Well, if one of your directives is push forward technology with your team and you try to like move forward and you're by yourself and you're kind of like without, you don't have any instructions, like they're just kind of formless. They just kind of find their own way. You just kind of, you know, forget who you are, but that stuff just kind of goes away. This is not what I do anymore. It is.
But then you form relationships.
At some point they try to do that. At some point you probably do form relationships, but then that person dies. And I mean, it's some people know, but then it's almost like a nomadic lifestyle. I would assume like you have to keep moving.
Which is, I guess what, like, again, I just want more background into what they've been doing other than like, I have a kid that I've adopted. And it's like, well, is this the first time you've done this? Or have you had multiple kids that have grown up and died? Like, I want more.
The boss is calling. I got to take this.
It's like, I want more of that because it'll help me connect with who these people are. And I think as I've said, like, this is lacking emotion for me. And I think there's enough emotion in it. I just lack a connection to the characters. Like, I want to hear about stories of them losing lovers or friends or family or whatever throughout the years, because it's been thousands of years since they saw each other, or maybe hundreds. It may be hundreds, because wasn't it like 1400, like
1500, I think, is when they disbanded.
AD. Yeah. So like, but it's hundreds of years. Like, there had to have been somebody, one of them making a connection with some people and them losing them. And I want to see that, because I feel like that is going to make them, like, I want that story. I don't know. That is why I just wish this was a show where we could connect a little more, because the emotions at the end of the movie, I'm like, I feel nothing.
I'll say it's probably because you spend a little more time with them and you see how their relationship was formed early and all of that stuff. When Gilgamesh died, made me legitimately sad.
Yeah. I was upset about that one because he's such a lovable character. And it's like, I don't know how they did it, but they made him lovable immediately. Probably because he's caring and like you see it, he feels genuine. Everybody else, I do not feel a connection with for some reason. I feel like there's no depth. There's depth to him, but everybody else is very one note for me.
Yeah. When he's got a sense of humor. You see that there's the early connection to Athena, and then when you see them, we're at the scene now where they're living together in this hut in Australia, like away from everyone, that he's been caring for her. Like, you see, okay, this is carried forward. Like, this is his character, this is who he is, as well as being like ridiculously strong. Like, and that actor's so good too.
Right.
Well, really, and And we just saw the saddest part of the movie, which is that the pie fell out onto the ground.
That pie looked so good.
You know, you know
that pie really nice cast iron pan. He just ripped it in half. Very sad. Yeah.
He's cut that outside in his little stone oven. He's so proud of that pie. Like, what's it just right. someone lift the pan up while it's going.
They killed the one character that I like fucking like.
The thing that I forgot. God damn it. The thing that I this whole movie takes place over the course of a week, like the events of the main plot. It's yeah, like 6 days. That's well, they don't have to.
They're robots.
Yeah, they're robots.
It's true.
So but they don't know that. We do have to talk about something else in this movie that I hope goes somewhere, but I feel like it might not. Is like Dane Whitman is a really cool character. He's like, yeah. He's the Black Knight in the comics, which is a super cool character. And they make a couple nods to where he's like, my family history is complicated because what the Black Knight character is like that whole family. It's like Black Panther. There's always been someone mm-hmm. that's the Black Panther. There's always been the Black Knight. And it's this whole,
but they're not always, they're not always good.
Right. Yeah. Cause the weapon, like, the sword that they use drives them insane. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there's like no cursed. Connection to Martin Lawrence. But
now that if in Secret Wars the Black Knight is Martin Lawrence from a different universe,
I know. Like, I'm in.
And reprising his role.
I want that in Secret Wars. That they go to the universe and you've got the Black Knight from Monty Python, and then you have go to another universe and the Black Knight is Martin Lawrence.
Because they drop that reference like when they're in the ship and Sprite's like, is that the Ebony Blade? But it's Excalibur, mm-hmm. which is like the good and bad version. The counterpart.
I know nothing about the Black Knight, so I didn't even realize that. So that's kind of a fun little like.
Well, like, they clearly want him in a bunch of things.
You knew he was going to be someone when his name was Dane. They don't put a character named Dane in the movie unless right. it's going to be somebody. So eyes are open right there.
And they're not going to cast like Kit Harington to be a boyfriend right. that you see for 10 minutes in this movie.
Yeah, he's really good.
Too much like mm-hmm. Icarus. First time I saw this, I got them confused.
She has
like,
a type.
She does have a type.
And they're apparently both kind of Starks, I guess, from Game of Thrones. But mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah,
no, one's a bastard.
I've never seen
yeah.
it.
Yeah, no, but he's the better one. So,
no.
I really only had like a couple other things written down. The one thing I had is definitely. I think Mercari in this is probably the best example of like someone with super speed powers in any movie.
Like when he tells her to go find the point, like the extraction point, that was awesome. I was like, holy shit.
And her fight with Icarus was awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like they did a really good job of showing like off her powers in this. I thought that was super cool. Like way better than any Flash movie I've seen. Like
the only other rival is Quicksilver. Scenes in those. Yeah. Like X-Men. Those with Evan Peters, like those the first one. Tremendous. The first one. Yes.
Yeah. Cause by the time he did it twice, it was still really good. We're like, yes.
Yeah. That first one, when he got time in a bottle playing and he's in the kitchen, like that one I go to bat for. Cause everything you see it only from his, like, Macari, they do such a good job where it's like, you can tell everything's moving fast around her without slowing everything down. They do the exact opposite in the Evan Peters thing where it's like everything is slow and he has time to do so much. Like I like those two perspectives of it. But yeah, those scenes are incredible here.
I think all of the fight scenes were really well done. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a fight scene that I'm like that like it didn't impress me. Not that I mean most of them do because they're always so well choreographed, but like I do not remember liking the fight scenes as much the first time, probably because I was very confused as to what was going on and didn't know any of their names. But like watching it the second time, I think I really appreciated like all of the fight scenes. Although Cersei is like fucking useless half the time. I'm like, do something. And then she finally turns the deviant into a tree. And I'm like, thank you. But
which was awesome. That was worth it. That was worth
all the frustration.
Just standing there, like, get into the building, all of you people. Like,
protect me, Druig. What can I do? I can't do anything either. Right. I've got a gun.
Well, why can't he control the deviants' minds? Like, I feel like that would be.
It's different minds, I assume. Like, well, and because they were created, my assumption would be since they're created by Arishem, they're both created. There's probably like some kind of block there where he is unable to do that.
That's one of my favorite parts of the movie where Arishem's basically like, "Dad's my fault. I fucked up.
My bad."
It's like,
you guys are my plan B.
I poorly programmed them, and now they try to kill you and everyone on Earth.
I was having a rough week, and
so it really screwed up my plans, if I'm being honest. It did not do what I wanted it to do. So that's why I made you guys.
Why couldn't just be like, whoops, and then just wipe them out?
Here, I'm going to birth a celestial early. We're going to have another one that's just going to bring his fist down on this planet. We're going to start over. That's what we're going to do. I am so sorry.
I had written down, how did he know that, like, humans were going to be good for the celestial? Like, what if there were smaller versions that they replaced? They like drew in the knowledge of like where they were, and like the celestial under Wisconsin is born with like alcohol syndrome. Celestial alcohol syndrome.
Isn't that Pip?
That's Pip. Yeah, that's how Pip was born.
I wrote down that Kingo was right. Unimind is a stupid name.
That is a stupid name. Brainstorm
was so much better.
Way cooler.
So much
Brainstorm
better.
Way cooler.
I was like, Unimind, this is stupid. Yeah, also, I would have like reversed that joke.
I love that he pieces out for like the climax of the movie. He's like, nah, I'm not going to be of any help.
I do like that to some extent, where like the planet may die and they'll go to something else, but it was this, because they're wrestling internally with this, like, this was our religion. This is why we were here. This is what we've been taught. And so you have all this like internal strife. Obviously Icarus was like, went one extreme. He became an extremist basically, but even Kingo is like, listen, I respect what you're trying to do here, but it also kind of goes against everything I've taught to believe. And I cannot fight against that. And really, if you look at it, I mean, from that perspective, you always want them to save Earth. I am not in favor of destroying Earth. I personally do not want that. But this is like the life cycle of the universe. Like, this is necessary. So you can see the arguments for and against. So I like that you had people on all sides of this. That Kingo was like, listen, I understand what you're trying to do here. I can't do this.
And he handled it like more in a mature way than Icarus, who just like
threw a tantrum and flew into the sun.
Right. Well, and that was my other thing. Another red flag is like he immediately
tried to destroy the Earth. Got it.
Yeah, he destroyed, but then he doesn't get his way, and he immediately does something dramatic and reckless and flies into the sun.
Okay, I'll kill myself.
Fine, I'll just kill myself, I guess.
He also was very much.
If you won't love me, I guess I'll fucking kill myself.
He very much did the whole, like, when she, when Cersei became leader, he very much went out of his way multiple times to be like, which I'm fine with, by the way. Totally cool.
It's great.
Her, not me, but her. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that.
I think it's great you have the speech orb.
No one's asking him at all. And he's like, I think it's cool. I think
but
you're doing great.
We get it.
Yeah.
Relax.
You're like, oh, do you want some saliva beer? He's like, you know, I am fine. Thank you. I'm fine with all of this, everything happening. By the way, the saliva beer was hilarious.
The saliva beer, that was the slurm gag from Futurama, basically, where he like picks it up again. He's like, oh.
I did very much enjoy. That was
cool. I want an Airsim like voice changer for my phone.
Yeah, that was pretty
like,
badass.
Like for my voicemail.
I think it would probably just come off as like cut rate ghost face is likely how that ends up coming off if you have an app like that.
That's probably true.
Some of my last notes here, I've got one of my notes just says little Fastos Oppenheimer.
You know he hates Robert Oppenheimer.
Fastos is sitting in Oppenheimer and going like, he didn't do any of that on his own. Yeah. He didn't do any of that. He's taking credit for
Iron
all
Man winning a fucking Oscar for this.
It's stolen valor.
Like Oppenheimer could have got out of that if he wanted to. Like, listen, Fastos did most of this. Like during the hearings, Fastos did most of this. He didn't take the out.
He's talking to everybody in the theater.
That was me. I don't like what happened, but I had a big hand in that. There's one of the other ones. I legit got to laugh. There's a small little scene. They have like the Emerald Tablet thing, and Icarus trades Druig for a box of Twinkies for that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a wordless exchange, and they both are giving the weirdest little suspicious side eye through the whole exchange. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's like they're both saying, don't talk about this. I won't talk about this either.
Yeah, like we're just
it's so fun. Good.
I think that's all I got, actually.
We get Blade at the end. We get
the voice of Blade more, at the end. I wanted more Fastos.
I really like him.
I yeah, really, really like him character. Too. And because I love that there's like, you've got a science guy. Like, I feel like he should have been involved from the beginning.
We should have Bill Nye for that, in my opinion.
Right, honestly. Yeah. But I love that, like, I don't know. And it's also that idea that, like, he just whipped up this Unimind thing in like an hour. I feel like it should have been a thing, an idea that they came up with, like, when they were in Australia, where he's like, oh, what if we did this? We're brainstorming and drinking saliva or beer. Something
that been kicking around back like 1,000 years ago.
Right, right.
Now we have the technologies at a place where like, oh, I've got this. I can kind of,
I got this. Then it's destroyed. Then within 30 seconds, he's like, you know what? Actually, I think I can just do it with the little sphere in your chest. If you don't mind me reaching in and grabbing that. Like,
let me get those chest spheres.
And Chris is like, hold on.
I thought you were gay.
Hey, girl. Let me see those chest spheres.
For science.
Hey, girl. Can you communicate with the celestial? Because you got some chest spheres.
Hey, Ronnie, let us know how that one works out.
Going to be sleep fucking on rocks before you know it.
Yeah, we
talked about that. That's actually a great one.
We talked about that before we started recording, but not now. But during the sex scene, she can change matter into anything mm-hmm. she wants. And yet she is allowing herself to be banged on a rock with sand on it. When
like you said,
turn a bus into rose petals.
Right, like you said, she could turn petals. Yeah, just turn it into a hundreds of thousands of rose petals.
Right, like poor baby girl's going to get some infections. My God.
Mm-hmm.
Like in every hole they're going, like that sand, it gets everywhere.
It's cool. Infections are eternal.
I'll say it. Yeah. I don't trust Icarus either. I don't trust where Icarus has been.
Oh, yeah. Nah.
That's a good point.
Who knows where his whatever part number is for his penis?
He can
number. He's a robot. Everything's got a part number on it.
It's like it's number. I think it's it's actually labeled. It's pen 15. I think is the part number. Yeah, dude's an ancient Babylon. There's no way he's not like flying off in the middle of the night to do nefarious.
Oh
things,
yeah, you know. He's the ladies of the night.
He's talking. Actually, now he's like, let me show you my hanging garden, stuff like that. Now he does.
Actually, his name even kind of sounds like an STD. Oh, my Icarus is flaring up.
I got the Icarus.
She gave me Icarus.
It's burning like the sun.
She gave me Icarus, Gary.
I got Icarus from a tractor.
I got it from rocks in the desert.
All right, so we'll rate this. I have a feeling we're going to be surprised by the ratings. We're going to let Dusty go last because
that's smart.
He has completely flipped the script on us. All right, I'll go counterclockwise. So I'll go first this time.
Ooh, all right.
So I think just as a movie, this is strong because it doesn't really tie into anything else except, like we said, the few references to why didn't you help out during the Battle of Earth, like with Thanos, and then all the other stuff when they're sitting at the dinner table. So it's just like a standalone movie. Visuals are incredible. Super like good job, like we said, of showing scale and like that being unique. I'm going to give it a 7 for a movie on its own. I think another very strong part that we didn't talk about is the score.
A score is great.
The score in this movie is like the Eternals theme is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It feels as epic as it should for what this movie means, like in the scale of it, like we talked about. So as an MCU movie though, I'm gonna give it a 6. Like, it's not offensive. I can't say that I haven't watched it before I watched it right now. Or for the second time right now. So like, it's never one to like, ooh, I want to like throw on the Eternals. And so like, I'm not going to give it like a high score because I don't really have that much of a desire to watch it again. But they do have the one of the coolest post-credit scenes where they have Dane like find the Ebony Blade and it's talking to him. And then you hear Blade.
I was going to say, we never talked about that Blade is the one talking to him. Which I didn't like, know who it was. How did you guys know who it was?
Well, because I know Mahershala Ali's voice.
I still don't. He says like three words. I don't even know that. That's very impressive. I would not have been able to do that.
Well, because then I know that, like, I knew he was supposed to be Blade, the MCU. And then when I see that, like, Black Knight is in this, and then they find the Ebony Blade, I'm like, okay. Because that all ties into, like, they were on there's like a supernatural team called Midnight Suns, which is like Blade, Black Knight, Ghost Rider. So I'm like, okay, that's got to be Blade.
All the cool guys.
All the cool heroes.
Awesome. Okay, got it. See, that makes more sense to me because I was going to ask about that and I forgot.
That is in my top. That's probably in my top five of like MCU after credit seasons because it's so good. And I really hope it actually goes somewhere. And that's just not like a throwaway like I think the Harry Styles one is.
Yeah, what's weird is we have not heard. I mean, unless the Black Knight is just going to be a part of Blade. Which maybe it is, like maybe they were just teasing the Blade movie, but like,
yeah, I mean, they introduced them together.
I have not heard a single thing about the Black Knight character or movie or show or anything about that in their 5-year plan, essentially.
Well, because they have to do Blade first because that's already been pushed back so many times by now. And like,
right.
Maybe he'll just
be featured in it. He'll be like a sidekick in that movie.
Like, I think that movie I think it's so cool and it has such big potential. I don't think it will get canceled, but like it keeps getting pushed back.
I'm starting to get worried about Blade.
They've had to rewrite it. I'm like, I don't know what they're gonna do with this.
I know it's a weird point in the MCU at this point because.
But once Deadpool and Wolverine does really well as a rated R MCU movie, that will show that they can do it and they should go forward with it.
They're gonna like after opening weekend when that breaks records, they're gonna be like, oh, Blade's coming out later next week.
It's already filmed, just sitting on it for 3 years.
Forgot to tell you guys, it's coming out real soon, any day now.
All right, Aaron, how about you?
I think I'm gonna give it straight vibes for both.
Okay.
As a standalone movie, it's okay. I think I just, like I said, I struggle with connecting to any of the characters except for like Gilgamesh who dies, which is like sad. And like Phastos and like the people that I feel like, I don't know if it's the actors. I don't know if it's just the writing, maybe because there's like less stakes for these people where like Cersei has so much on her plate and so does Icarus. They're very like, there's just like an image that they have. I do not connect with them and they are the main characters in this. And I don't feel anything. And I feel like I really struggle with that. And Sprite, who I just completely forget about all the time, that Sprite is walking around there. Thank God they've kicked her out of this series because I feel nothing. And I just struggle. So again, if I watch this, I'd be like, okay, that was a movie that I've seen. So I can say that I've seen it, but I will probably not watch it again. And same with an MCU movie. The fight scenes carry it for me. I really enjoyed those scenes, especially like as we're watching this right now, getting to the Amazon scene, which was my favorite scene because there's everything. You've got the great CGI, the great fight scenes. You get to see a lot of them flexing their powers. And then also somebody dies. So it makes it really heartbreaking. And it's the character that we all love. So I think it's like that whole scene is wonderful. And the ending fight scene is really good. Seeing all of their powers and what they can do. I wish it didn't take that long to see what Phastos could do because I feel like we don't even see much of him in the earlier the flashbacks either. Like seeing like that he was able to contain Icarus. I'm like, shit, I had no idea he could do that. And I just wish I got more characters instead of like sex scenes in the desert. I just struggle with the pacing, I think of it, and the lack of just detail because there's just so much going on. But so I'll give it a 5. Like it's fine, but way better than I thought I was gonna rate it. I was expecting to give it like a 1. So
I liked it. I liked it better. I liked it better my second watch.
Same.
All right. Best for last. We talked about
the sex scene a lot because it's the first in the MCU and all that. That's being generous. Like they laid still in a desert
and made out
very little movement. There's not
sexy, like, which is weird. It's like, if you're going to do that, like make it like not make me feel like, oh, healthy. like you can tell, like they've both never had sex before. Like that's how that
they didn't
Icarus,
even
Icarus is pretending. Icarus,
they didn't even have to censor that in Utah. That's how
right. Was it was feel. Just like,
I think they're just talking. They might be talking.
But he says, "I love you." Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow that was a problem for you.
Yeah, I do. Don't. The first time you have sex with someone, you do not fucking say that.
All right. So I will go. Man, I feel like I'm gonna let you down. I'm gonna go eight. So let me go eight.
Oh, that's way higher than I would have thought.
Well, listen. Yeah, I was prepared to go zeros for this.
Yeah, I thought you had those written in pen already.
Yeah, I thought I was going zeros with this because this was one. I mean, the running joke for me anyway was that like this didn't exist because I dislike this movie. I had in my mind this movie was 3.5 hours long, and I like all of it, and I loaded up. I was like, oh, it's like 2:30. Like that's not that bad.
I wish it was 3.5 because I wish we could have gotten more.
Give me two back to back. All the stuff you guys have said, I mean, it looks beautiful. Even like from the opening, when you see, cause like the fishing in Mesopotamia, right. And the deviant comes out and then they all settle, they fight it. And they all settle on the mountain behind them. And you get Domo then kind of shows itself above the mountains. Like from the jump, this thing looks amazing. I like the characters. Like I said, like Icarus, to call Icarus one note is being
okay. Generous. Let the record show that he said he likes Icarus. What a weirdo!
Also, to call Icarus one note is being generous. Like, he is barely a character, but everyone else I enjoy. I like Cersei. Like Sprite. I feel like you could even do more with that angst if you wanted to. I mean, Aaron, like you said, I think one of the problems with this is that there are so many characters that they just don't know what to do with, and we don't have a strong feel. Like, I really like Kingo. Mainly because I like Camille Nanjiani, and he's funny when he's on screen. He's got a charisma to him I really like. You don't really know him that well. You don't really know most of them that well. So I do wish you could spend a little more time with them. But this is one I think I'm going to throw on in the background quite a bit because it looks, you can look up and go, oh, that looks so cool. So I feel like,
This is a good chance you'll look up during something badass.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be like rewatching this on a regular basis, but it is something I will be revisiting. I didn't think I was ever going to watch this again. If it wasn't for this show, I would never watch this again. And then for the Marvel stuff, I'll throw eight as well. Now part of it, it's the struggle with it, right? Because it's tied into the events, as we point out, painfully so during the dinner scene. And it is going to set up other stuff, whether that's Black Knight or something else. But with the weird schedule now, I don't know if there's going to be another Eternals. You don't know when Black Knight's going to show up. And so how much it actually ties into the MCU right now, not at all. Like it's disconnected. It's connected and then it takes place in the world and they recognize these events, but it's disconnected from everything else right now. So I'm curious to see how it ties into it. I love a movie that does something different. I like a movie that does something with a concept and looks at something from a different lens. I loved, I don't know if you saw the Invisible Man, the Elizabeth Moss Elizabeth Man, that takes that classic universal movie and then does
modernize it
completely different with it.
Yep.
I think that's what I love about this. Like this doesn't, it somehow doesn't feel like a comic movie while also feeling a comic movie because you have Arishem and you get like the Celestials in there, but it's such a like trip through history and the way it looks and what they do with it. The concept is so different for everything else while still maintaining like true to a comic book thing. So you know what? I'll go nine. I'll go an eight regular movie. I'll go a nine comic book movie. I've talked myself into it. I can't go 10 because you know, it's not as good to play Trinity, but I will go, I'll give it a nine.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
I am shocked at how much I'm watching it again now while we're recording. I'm like, man, this rules. This is very good.
This rewatch changed the trajectory of your life.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm having time on this rewatch.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I will say this, like I said, I do like it better the second time I saw it. I think this is one of those, maybe, I don't know when I'll do it again, but maybe I'll watch it a third time and see which way I'm leaning after that, right? Because, like, I didn't like it very much at first. This time I liked it more.
Your expectations were super low this time.
Yeah.
So it surprised you a bit,
Yeah. Because, a good point. Because going into it, I was hyped for this. Like, I thought it was going to be crazy good.
Right.
And it wasn't. So yeah,
especially like,
now,
like this was only a couple months after Shang-Chi, so you're like, oh man, like yeah. the ceiling for
so
this.
So I watched
is, like,
yeah, like, all right, two Wong movies back to back. Mine is all excited about that.
Yeah, so I watched it with high expectations and then low. So now that I'll be neutral on my third watch, we'll see which way I lean. All right. Well, next week is one that I really like, and Dusty doesn't think he likes it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know who I am anymore.
I'm excited about this one because, like, I don't think it was. I don't think I disliked it. I just think I went in with very high expectations because I did not watch it like in the theater. So everybody said like this is. There were people talking saying this was the best movie in the MCU, and I'm like, holy. Yeah,
that's. I went in watching it so, with that same.
Idea. And I think that disappointed me, but I also do not have the background that I do now of watching like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. Like, so that's going to change a lot for me. So, yeah.
The one thing that I noticed seeing it in the theater versus out. It's like meant to be watched with an audience.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, because all the reveals and everything.
And they do like weird. They do these pauses where no one talks for like 3 seconds. You know, like
because they saw those Endgame like fucking like yeah, audience.
When you're watching it at home and those parts like, happen, you're like,
it's like when you watch like a like Seinfeld or something, and they have this. Yeah, where they cut out the audience, and you're just like, yes. Just why are they standing there in silence?
They're just vibing. Right. So yeah, so we are now on an, as long as we can do it, we're on an every week track because we have to catch up for, we have to eventually get Aaron through the Deadpool movies by the time Deadpool X-Men. Wolverine comes out and X-Men. X-Men. Yeah. So we are
grinding.
We've got some good and rough days ahead.
Yes. while the scheduling
good
works.
And, good and rough like that. Cersei,
it was only rough. There's nothing good about that.
It's rough and scratchy,
just like we like it.
I thought it was itchy and scratchy.
But then later it's scabby.
Oh yeah, there you go.
It's scabby. Later, yeah, so after that it's infection-y.
That's when you get wound fluid.
That's a callback.
All right. So we will be back next week. We'll be doing Spider-Man No Way Home, and we will talk to you guys then.